Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hey, friends, welcome back. Appreciate you joining us today. I do have a few postcards that have been sitting on my desk that I think I have not introduced yet. This one is from the Dreyers, members of our church that are on an around the world cruise. Think about that. So Rick and Renee, thanks for reminding us of your cruise. I know you're far from New Zealand right now, but that's a picture of off the coast of New Zealand. So praying for you and missing you and thanking you for keeping us posted on your journeys. We're in Romans chapter 13 today, brand new chapter, and just a difficult chapter, honestly, not to understand. Isn't it funny that the Bible is not difficult because it's hard to understand? There certainly are places that are harder to understand than others, but oftentimes the Bible is difficult because God tells us things to do that are counterintuitive to what we want to do or what our flesh wants to do. And that's the passage today, because the passage today deals with submission to authority, recognizing the rightful place of government in our life. And that sometimes is hard for us, especially intrepid, maverick Americans like many of us are. So look at Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, where the Bible says, let every soul, now do you see that? Let every soul. So there's no wiggle room. You're not the exception to this rule. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Sometimes we even call citizens of a country its subjects. So, and we kind of have, a negative view of that. But subjection or submission is not a dirty word. It's actually a very biblical word modeled by the Lord Jesus himself. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. That's a strong word, ordained of God. Sometimes we talk about the institutions that God has ordained. And when you think about the institutions that God has ordained, we think about the family, Genesis chapter 2, 3, marriage and the family. We think about the local church, Matthew chapter 16, Acts chapter 2, obviously. So the ordination of the local church as an institution of God. Then we think about government. God has ordained human government. So God has ordained that we would be under authority to other people. So as human beings, sometimes we operate as the authority. Perhaps you're a government leader. Certainly in the home, some of you are governmental leaders in the sense that you are the mom or you are the dad. So there is a governmental authority that you have in those places as a husband. In the local church, you know, I am a pastor. So there's a governmental authoritative position, not dictatorial. Certainly doesn't make me better than anybody else. But for the purposes of God's economy, he has established authority structure. So think about the Apostle Paul here speaking to the church at Rome. So who is ruling the world right now? Rome. And can I remind you that Rome is not a picture of a democratic republic at this point. In fact, Rome is in the process of some pretty heavy persecution of Christians that's only going to get worse after the Christians read this chapter. Remember, it is Paul who faces the execution block from Rome, Peter as well. And so when Paul talks about submission to the authority of government, understand that the government that he is dealing with as a Roman citizen of that era is not a government that has been kind toward Christianity. And yet there still exists a responsibility on the part of believers, followers of Jesus, to be good citizens, to be obedient insofar that they can. I'm reminded of that verse that we talked about a couple episodes ago, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And that deals with our interpersonal relationships. And I think the same thought occurs here, where it is, this is not to say that we blindly obey government. The government tells us to do things that are clearly prohibited by Scripture. For instance, there's that age-old conundrum of, you know, what do you do in Nazi Germany? You're a German soldier just obeying orders. Is that a justification for leading people to the gas chamber? You know, that's kind of one of the moral dilemma of our age. And the point is, no, we are never to violate the higher power. Those of you that are listening on audio, I'm illustrating this with my hands. The higher power, no, the highest power is God. That's what the verse says. The powers that be are ordained of God. So he is the ultimate, the top, the apex of authority. And good authority is going to operate within the scope of their stewardship of authority from God. Now, obviously, human beings are not going to do that perfectly. So we are to obey human authority insofar that human authority does not cause us to disobey God. A great example of that is Peter and John, who were preaching the gospel of Jesus there at the Temple Mount. They were arrested for that by the Jewish authorities. And remember, they said when they were told not to preach, they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. That's a great example that they were saying there is a higher authority that compels us to say what you've told us not to say. So let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. All human authority finds context in the authority that is and comes from God. Then the powers that be are ordained of God. Now look at verse number 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the human authority, the Bible says, resisteth the ordinance of God. So when we disobey the higher power. Now, again, we've already established that if that power is telling us to do something that is expressly forbidden in the Word of God, then we ought to obey God. Follow him, follow others as they follow Christ. Paul said to the Corinthians, that's the same idea. But let's face it, so much of what our government asks us to do, so much of what is on the rule book, the law book, that the government requires of us is not a right or wrong thing. It might be a thing we disagree with. It might be a thing that's inconvenient for us. It might be a thing that we didn't vote for. But insofar that government is ruling over us, Christians ought to be the best example of submission to that authority. And they ought to furthermore understand that by submitting to a God-given human authority, they are actually submitting to God. That's the same language and rationale that the Apostle Paul uses about a wife submitting to a husband, or children submitting to parents, or an employee submitting to an employer. We serve the Lord Christ. We're doing it unto him, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Ye do serve the Lord Christ, Paul said in that context in Ephesians chapter 6. So it's really a perspective check, isn't it? And think about how glibly and blatantly we disobey these verses. Even in our own country, I'm speaking to fellow Americans right now. So we just kind of make excuses. Well, I didn't vote for him. Or, well, I don't want to do that. Or I don't like him. And those are never good reasons either to be disrespectful or to be disobedient. Now, we've already established if someone's asking me to do something that is expressly forbidden by God, obviously I obey the Lord. But this whole idea of making fun of government leaders, of disrespecting, Peter deals with that extensively in 2 Peter chapter number 2, which, by the way, is another book that was written during a time of great government persecution, where Christians were being incredibly persecuted, even by the government. And the Apostle Paul said, we should not be speaking evil of dignities. We should maintain a level of respect and decorum. In fact, we ought to take that frustration and turn it into prayer. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. There in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and praying for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. God wants all to be saved, praying for their salvation. I wonder, can I say that about my attitude toward President Biden or my attitude toward some other government leaders whom I don't particularly respect and for whom I would not vote, and yet they occupy that position? Do I have a level of respect? Do I have a measure of prayer? Am I willing to follow them insofar that they're not asking me to do something that is outside the confines of God's will? I mean, Jesus gave us a great example of all of this when he told Peter to go fish that fish out of the Sea of Galilee and pay the tax for him and for Peter. Instead of arguing the case, he submitted himself. He submitted himself. And that's the attitude that God calls for you and me. Now, look at verse number 2 again. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Okay? Not damnation in the sense of damnation to hell, but condemnation. If you have a reckless, non-law-abiding maverick spirit, then you're having that spirit and you're disobeying that law to your own judgment, to your own condemnation, to your own hurt, would be a good way to say that. And so Christians ought to be the greatest examples of what it means to be law-abiding, to be submissive and honest citizens who, in spite of their political affiliations, have a healthy respect, have a sincere prayer for, and therefore a model citizenship in the countries in which they reside. I know that's a much bigger issue than probably I've painted it in the limited time we've had for today, but hey, friends, let's be great examples of what it means to be law-abiding citizens. Hope that helps today. We'll jump into verse number 3 tomorrow. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.